Isn't that nice? Very, very good. Thank you for joining us tonight, this morning. You're listening to, of course, Coast to Coast AM on Christmas morning. It's official now in the States. I guess not really Hawaii, right? Or Alaska. I guess they're off too. But Merry Christmas to the West Coast out there that's listening. It is official, at least for you guys. So, yay! We've been into it already here on the East Coast. So, join the fun with us here as we continue. Bringing you some really cool things, some Santa updates, and some Christmas music. And I do want to remind you again, those of you that, George Norrie has been traveling around and meeting people, and he's going to be doing it again. Just kind of write this down. Saturday night in Scottsdale, Arizona, beautiful place. Golly, a great place to play golf. It's a long way away, so you got some time to plan for it. It's April 21. It's a Danheiser Wagner Entertainment presentation, and it's George Norrie live at the Scottsdale Invasion. It's going to be a good time. There's a meet and greet that happens afterwards, and a lot of conversation and Q&A, and they're just fun. It's a big UFO roundtable featuring some really wonderful people. We know Phoenix Lights, Dr. Linkatai, and we've got Melinda Leslie and Travis Walton and the X-Man John D'Souza. It's just going to be a good time. And of course, George Norrie is going to sing again with his live band. And I think that's really cool, or with a live band. And you can be a part of that. So if you'd like to know more about it and be a part of the meet and greet and all that kind of good stuff, then go to our website at coasttocoastam.com and you'll find out that information. More crypto trends and crypto Christmas coming up for you here. Stay with me, Coast to Coast AM. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Connie Claus, tonight. And I think I'm hearing some bells. I think, wait a minute, I gotta listen in the distance. There they are! Santa! Santa was last seen in Tucson, Arizona, and now heading for Cabo San Lucas. Cabo San Lucas. Did I say that right? I think I said that right. Okay, cool. I've never been there, but I hear a lot about it. Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Going to be there in 5 minutes from Tucson, Arizona. 5 minutes, 32 seconds. Those deer are flying, man. They are going at it. They are just moving their little legs. He has already, Santa has delivered over 6 trillion. That's the word, trillion. Over 6,433,000,000 presents. Hopefully, one of those is yours. But if you're a child, and you are a believer in Santa who is coming your way, which he is in Cabo San Lucas. You've got 5 minutes to get in there, close your eyes, and start dreaming, or Santa will not drop off anything. Make sure that the chimney chute is open, and you've got some gluten-free cookies, and maybe some of the lactose intolerant milk, maybe a little water. I don't know if he's into tap or not, but you know how things get now. Miss Claus gave me a call and wanted me to say some of those things. So Santa's on his way, Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, in 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Stan Larimer, Godfather of BitShares. We are talking crypto trends of 2018, and we're going to finish this up and talk about Christmas miracles after this. But you're into the trends, and I had to cut you off. We're talking, I think, about the dark side of the flight to safety, the one world government.
Yes, that certainly is scary. But you made me feel so much better with that piece of bumper music just before this. Oh, Holy Night is one of my best Christmas memories. And man, when I hear that line, a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That was talking about the first coming of Christ. The second coming is right around the corner, and all this stuff we're talking about is going to be moot when that happens. So let's not lose track of that fact that we have to get through a few more dark years where our freedom hangs in the balance, and we should do our best to preserve it. But that whole idea of the beast and the mark of the beast, where no one can buy or sell except that they have the KYC AML of the beast is what we're talking about. Of course, KYC AML is the rules about know your customer, anti-money laundering, all things put in place presumably to protect us from criminals, but in reality, taking away our freedoms and making us totally at the mercy of the system. So whenever we look out there at the systems that are being devised to give us one world currency, and then to make sure that only people who have the mark of the beast can use it, we can start to see that the days when Christ will come again must be drawing closer, because for the first time in human history, there are mechanisms to enforce that prophecy that we find in the book of Revelation, known as the mark of the beast, where everybody has to have an identification mark on their forehead or on their hand that allows the government to control whether or not they can buy or sell. Boy, we're getting close to that. Cryptocurrencies represent a possible solution to that, but only if they remain free, and only if there remain lots of them out there, so that we don't replace one beast for another. I don't ever advocate us having just one global cryptocurrency. We need lots of them out there, so there's lots of freedom and lots of choices for people.
Well, and that's where, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh no, this sounds like it might be leading to the, you know, that the beast and the one world currency. But that's what everybody has said, where they, you know, if I bring that up, they say, oh no, this is totally the opposite of that. And that's what you're saying too.
Well, when you talk to the bankers, and I have talked to a few, first thing they say they want to do is, boy, I'd love to use your technology, but I need my own private copy of it so that we can control it all. And I laugh. The whole reason for the blockchain is to decentralize it outside the control of one organization. And if you're telling the world that you're adopting the blockchain, you miss the entire point if you want to put it inside the control of one institution. That doesn't fix anything. But that brings me to trend number four, which is what I called the great Bitcoin train wreck of 2018. The fact that Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the other leading coins out there that are based on mining are currently clogged. I tried to send money with Bitcoin. It took longer than to wire the money the other day. So the system had so many users, it couldn't keep up with them all. As a result, it's rationing who can use it to the highest bidder, and it was costing $45 to send a Bitcoin somewhere. Well, you know, that means that Bitcoin is not going to be the ultimate solution, is it? It is constrained by the fact that the people who operate the Bitcoin network would rather make money mining than deliver a product that solves a problem.
And what is mining?
That's absolute heresy.
Right. And what is mining for people that are out there?
Yeah. Mining, in the case of Bitcoin, is a metaphor for participating in a contest to guess a magic number that will lock up a 10 minutes worth of data on the network. And whoever guesses that magic number first gets some Bitcoins for that period of time.
Oh.
And of course, that's pretty profitable right now, right? A Bitcoin is worth $15,000 and you get 12 and a half of them for finding a magic number. So, hey, you know, that's quite a prize. But taking time out of every transaction to run that type of a competition, spending hundreds of millions of dollars on electricity to run that contest, the whole thing that started out to be an exercise in decentralization has now come down to centralized on four companies in China who sign over half the blocks. There are only takes four governors of the Federal Reserve to make a decision in the central bank of the United States, and that's how many it takes for Bitcoin to make a decision too. It's no longer decentralized. Most of the things people tell you about Bitcoin are talking about the idealized version of Bitcoin that was originally invented by Satoshi Nakamoto, but not the Bitcoin of today. That's part of the great train wreck that is coming. Bitcoin has served its purpose. It will continue to be valuable and traded for some period of time just from sheer momentum, but it has lost its first love. It's lost its ultimate vision of providing instantaneous, frictionless, and almost cost-free transactions. That's what BitShares was built to do. Because during this same period of time, when it took 3 days for me to get a Bitcoin transaction processed, I was sending BitShares from point to point in 3 seconds and not even beginning to use the total capacity of that network. So certainly a trend in the coming year. I don't want to make it in terms of such a self-serving statement as from Bitcoin to BitShares, but read the writing on the wall that's happening right now as companies are abandoning the leaders, the ones that you're being told to go buy to get into the crypto industry. The big names are clogged and unable to scale. And so company after company after company is abandoning Bitcoin and Ethereum and moving to a real-time blockchain, which is what BitShares is. And we have announcements coming out this month that would just curl your hair in terms of companies started out trying to build on Ethereum, which is another blockchain that's got some fancier capabilities than Bitcoin, but still is based upon slow, non-real-time technology. So those companies started out to build on Ethereum or Bitcoin, found out it couldn't handle their traffic, and came over to BitShares. I'll just run down a real quick list if you like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of things that are coming.
Yes, please. All right.
There's a really big network marketing company, got the ability to reach out and touch millions of people, and it is basically bringing a new coin to market this month that will allow people to interact with advertisers to earn this coin that they can turn around and spend in big box stores like companies that you've heard of. I'll leave it to them to do their announcement, but you can get TVs for half price with this currency that you earn by taking a survey, for example. And so that's a company that is a powerhouse in terms of the number of people it can drive to a new product. And its currency is going to be hosted on the BitShares network now. They started out on Ethereum, and when Ethereum got clogged up by a little program called CryptoKitties that brought that network to its knees, they said, we can't stay on here, and they moved. Another company that did the same thing is called Daily Millionaire, and that's a really cool game. You can play trivia contests against other players, and they give away $5 million a day in prize money. And that's all being given away in digital currency on the BitShares network.
Nice.
We're working with a company that's doing video game tournaments. That'll be cool. We've got deals with a company in Utah that is quite famous for getting gold turned into legal tender in the state of Utah, a big gold depository out there that we're teaming with to deliver gold-backed digital currencies. The Billion Hero campaign that I mentioned before, billionherocampaign.com, is doing all kinds of philanthropic activities, raising money for good causes and giving away billions in the coming year. There's another company that is a FEMA contractor, AMK, that has done a lot of government contracting, billions, huge company that's got capability for cleaning up after hurricanes and bringing power and water places and rebuilding entire civilizations. So much capacity. They're introducing a new currency that will allow them to grow and do things that governments aren't funding and be able to cut out the red tape and move quicker. And they're doing all of that. There's another company called Arise Bank, brand new startup that is interested in building a complete digital currency-based bank with 700 digital currencies offered and the ability to save in those currencies and earn from money you deposit in those currencies. The entire hemp industry is looking at moving their currencies in there because while it may be legal in some states to grow this, I think in your state of Kentucky it's legal to grow the hemp plant, but still banks aren't supporting it very much, so they need another way to handle their entire industry horizontally and vertically, and they're looking at moving onto the BitShares industry. A whole bunch of high-quality securities that right now the Bitcoin industry is has the habit of trying to say, we're not a security, we don't need to obey regulations. Well, we're working with companies that are saying, I'm happy to say I'm a security, I'm going to register with the SEC, I'm going to offer high quality to people. And remember I mentioned that flight to safety out of Bitcoin and scam ICOs? Well, we're going to be sitting there with a whole big swimming pool ready to catch that avalanche of money that is flowing into quality by having legal securities on the blockchain. So there is a bunch of stuff that is moving on to the BitShares network. And the neat thing about every one of those companies is that they have a plan of plowing back some of their revenue into buying BitShares. And so that will stimulate the entire BitShares economy and cause growth far beyond what you see with an ordinary digital currency that requires basically people to discover it slowly and speculate on its growth. This is an industry built on top of the BitShares platform. And so we're thinking that BitShares will be the ultimate trend in the coming year, along with its younger little brother called EOS, which is going to be a billion-dollar company producing infinite scalability, plus a whole bunch of other features. And that will be coming online in the summer, which will completely turn upside down who the industry leaders are in the coming year. And so that would be my final trend, is the emergence of real-time blockchains taking over and the disappearance of mining as something you see in digital currencies.
I think that is just fantastic. I like that the mining is going away, because I guess I'm not a miner. If I were a miner, I might not like it, but I can see why. I mean, it goes totally against everything you guys have put together. And I love that you guys looked to see where the problems were and said, okay, we're going to move forward and fix them and make things better where we need to. I mean, you know, somebody's got to be the first one out. And whenever you're that first one out in the frontier, the people behind you learn what you've done right or wrong and emphasize on the right and fix the wrong. And, you know, that's the way it goes. And I just, you know, I mean, Stan, I'm just proud of you and happy for you and just good things coming for you. And, you know, otherwise you wouldn't be on Coast talking to us now. We put on winners, you know, and it's really cool to know you right now, because I just know in the future at one point it's going to be hard to get a hold of you. I mean, it's already hard to get a hold of you now, but it's going to be like, no, Stan's out on the yacht now. But it's just you are really doing some really neat things, and I'm glad that you're here to tell us about it. And I know that people really respect you in the business, and your son too. And I just, you know, I love the fact that, to me, all these wonderful things you guys are doing, you really, really are. You want to do it right. But that's what I really like about you, is the integrity and the character going into it. There are a lot of people you got to watch out for, especially when it comes to currencies of any sort. So to get to know you and to be a part of Coast to Coast, and of course Blue Rock too, I appreciate that. It's just nice to find someone down to earth with integrity and character, you know, worried about and concerned about freedoms and being fair and doing things right. And that's what you're doing. And so I appreciate that, and making it easier for us people that don't know what we're talking about. But you're doing that for us. So this is Stan Larimer that we're talking to, and he is the godfather of BitShares, which is changing the world. Absolutely changing the world. And thanks to those of you that have hung in to help learn along with me and others here at Coast, because it is a learning curve. So next, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some Christmas miracles and get Stan's perspective on that with college level classes that he teaches once a week. Merry Christmas from Coast to Coast AM. Merry Christmas from Coast to Coast AM. And myself, Connie Claus. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you're having a good one. Thanks for joining us. If you're here listening to me right now, you're joining us, and I appreciate that. We've been giving you the Santa updates by NORAD and some Christmas music and talking about the crypto trends with Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares. And one of the other things, well, before we go into the other things that Stan specializes in, and it's even more of a passion of his over BitShares and cryptos, is there anything else, Stan, that you would like to say that we haven't said that you'd like to mention before we talk about the miracles of Christmas?
Well, yeah, my business development guy, Eddie Taylor, had asked me to mention his phone number on the air. Fool.
Well, really? What?
Yes. Now, he only wants to talk to businesses that are interested in moving on to BitShares from, brand X out there. He's the guy that's been talking to a whole lot of people, convincing them they ought to move to BitShares. So do I dare give his phone number out on national radio?
Oh, that's crazy. You can put it on our website. How's that? Don't know the calls he'll get. You know, we have good listeners, but.
Yeah, well, I figured that was the case. But if I could, I would like to put it up on the website so that people who want to move to BitShares can do so.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we got your information there for anyone that wants to get a hold of Stan and any of the things he's talked about. Please go to our website at coasttocoastam.com and you'll see the show, or you can just search for Stan Larimer and his information is going to be on there so that you can contact him and find out what's going on. And then you can, you know, I mean, that's like put Eddie's number on the bathroom wall. Come on, be careful. You don't want to do that kind of thing. No, we have great listeners, but
I told him he was nuts. So I threatened to do it here anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Are you mad at him? Is that why you're going to do that? Did he do something you didn't like? Did he not give you a Christmas gift this year? That's funny. Well, tell him I said hello. I've never met the guy or anything, but Merry Christmas to you, Eddie. And we're just trying to save you a little bit. We'll put it in a good professional business-like way. So that's funny. He would probably live to regret that one, maybe. So the crypto world is great, and it's very nice to meet you through it. But also learning you and getting to know you a whole lot better, your biggest passion and love is something that you do once a week. And tell us what that is, and then tell us a little bit more about what tonight is all about, this day.
Okay, well, I teach an adult Sunday school class. You know, no big deal. Lots of people do that. But I like to bring a certain style to it, which is to pick a topic and figure out everything that the Bible has to say about it. So often we study the Bible, as we should, by reading it consecutively through this book or that book. But if you do that, it's such a big book that by the time you get done, you miss the connections. So I focus on bringing up the connections. Every verse in the Bible on a particular topic is brought together for discussion at one time each week. And so we get into all kinds of interesting stuff that way. But that's what I love to do. There's no more fun than standing up and talking about what's been revealed to mankind in that book.
Yeah, I like that you had said you talk about it in a college level, which means, you know, what you're saying is you get in there deep and you really study it and kind of pick it apart kind of thing. I like that. That's what I like to do with all conversations. So, you know, then what would you say about tonight? I mean, this is the birth of Christ. And I'm sure you've picked this apart many times, and I know that we're going to start taking some calls, you know, for people to ask what they want to about. I'm sure we'll get some crypto questions, but also about the miracles of Christ. So you also have this perspective of Mr., you know, rocket scientist guy. So a lot of those people don't even believe in this stuff at all, but you do. But how do you explain the birth of Jesus from the Virgin Mary? And then how do you explain the miracles that Jesus, as he grew up, performed?
Well, those are wonderful, delightful questions. It's nothing short of the most significant event in human history. All of human history points to it. 4,000 years of history, and I know someone's going to say, it's longer than that, Stan. No, it isn't. It's 4,000 years of history leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ. and then 2,000 more years living in a world that has the knowledge of what he did and what he could do, leading to today, which is pretty darn close to the end of 6,000 years of human history. And we got one more 1,000 left to go, which will be Jesus living with us here on the earth. No more mystery, no more I can't see him. No, he will be living here with us as king and ruler. So that's the 7,000 years of human history. I guess I ought to pause to say, how can I possibly believe that and still be a scientist who understands how long beams of light have been traveling towards the Earth since the beginning of the so-called Big Bang? And how can I possibly believe that everything that we have evidence of prior to 6,000 years ago, how do I justify those two things? That's one of my most fun topics. And when you talk about Christmas miracles, if you think of it in the context of throughout all of these miracles, God has demonstrated that he has exquisite control over the universe. I like to say, if this world is not a matrix, it's God's matrix. He has the same kind of control of it as if it were a simulation, in terms of the things that have happened. There are accounts that are given to us in the Bible. If you just think about some of those miracles that happened, a guy with a withered hand, you know, think of it, everything all knotted up, and suddenly he stretches out his hand and everything is repaired. Think of the microsurgery, the number of surgical operations necessary to do that, and with Jesus, it was stretch out your hand and it's done. Calming the sea, the stormy sea, if you're a physicist and you look at that, you understand that in a chaotic weather environment with water and wind moving in all sorts of different directions, it takes enormous amounts of power and control to adjust the momentum of every particle of air and water out there to calm that sea. There are other stories in the Bible of stopping the Earth's rotation without having the ocean slosh over top of the continents. Every one of these things that I'm talking about are things that non-believers point to and say, see, that couldn't happen because who can imagine that much power? But that's the only argument they've got. The fact of the matter is that the Bible's full of stories like that, and they all center around one person, and that is Jesus Christ, whose main purpose was to show that after 4,000 years of failing to manage ourselves and to resist our evil impulses, Jesus had to show up, pay for all that bad behavior, and offer us this free grace of being forgiven for what we've done if we simply believe in what he's there for. And all of these miracles are there to provide just enough opportunity to separate two kinds of people, those who don't want to believe and those who do. And so if you ask, why doesn't he do a miracle every day at noon in public and on CNN, it's because he doesn't want the people that would be convinced by that. He wants to separate out those who want him to be in control from those who want to reject him, who don't like the idea that there is a God who expects certain levels of behavior. And so all of this part of human history that we have looked at is there to separate what he would call the sheep from the goats, those who want him to rule their lives, those who don't. And it's set up to allow that separation to occur, and that's the key understanding of everything. I left out just one point, and that was there's nothing that says that God can't create a 15-billion-year-old universe in 6 days. He's got that kind of power. He doesn't have to wait for all those other years to happen. Just like when you play a video game, you turn it on and there's a whole artificial world that came into existence instantly. You don't have to watch all the trees grow in that simulation. You don't have to watch all the eons go by in God's simulation.
Wow, there's a great perspective there. I mean, that's the visual right there. I mean, to get you to that point. I mean, you're right. We can just plug in a computer or a video game, and boom, instantly there's this whole new world. You're right. So, well, when it comes to all the miracles that he performed of healing people and bringing people back to life, and I mean, he had said as well that we could all do this. Well,
yes, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be moved and tossed into the ocean. So there were lots of examples throughout the Bible of people who could not be healed because they lacked faith and wouldn't believe it. And there are many examples where it says, seeing that he had faith to be healed, Jesus said, or the apostles said, get up and walk. And then it happened. But it only happened to those who were not playing this game of being artificially skeptical. Okay? Skepticism has a good place, but it does not have a place if you're saying it for the reason of being able to continue to be your own boss instead of submitting to your creator. And if you are denying it and using skepticism as an excuse to deny it, then, that is you failing the test. A very important test to pass, by the way.
When you were talking earlier about the Star of Bethlehem and people, the wise men being able to follow that for guidance, it brings to mind to me what's called the hybridization project, and that is what Dr. David M. Jacobs talks about. He's been on Coast many, 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 many times. And that is, and a lot of people really believe in the hybridization project, and that is where people have been taken by aliens as abductions. And they believe that from these abductions that, they take the sperm and then they take the eggs and they create a hybrid of alien human, and eventually they're down here and they look just like us, and except that they have a little bit more ability, some psychic abilities, and they were basically human and alien. So there could be like where, well, I guess the bottom line of all of that is that's what people think Jesus is, the first hybrid from the aliens and humans, and that's why the Virgin Mary was, the Virgin Mary pregnant. What do you think about that?
Well, that is not true. Jesus is an eternal being who was at the very beginning with God, as you can read in the very first chapter of John. He is not a created being. And so a whole entire different process is involved. But you do raise an interesting question. The concept of hybrids is biblical, but it's not attributed to aliens. It's attributed to demons, fallen angels. If you go back and look at the story of Noah and the ark in Genesis chapter 6, you find you're reading along, bebopping, enjoying the storyline, and suddenly it says, in those days there were giants, and also after that, when the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and they bore children who were the great men of renown. That's a rough approximation of what it says. It's basically saying that fallen angels, angels who in an unauthorized way mated with human females, to produce giants that did not get completely wiped out. The genetics passed down through the flood to after the flood in the wives of the sons of Noah. And some of those bore giants. We certainly have heard stories in the Bible of Goliath. But Goliath had four brothers who were also giants. And when the Israeli when Moses led them back into the promised land, they sent scouts out into that land, and they came back and reported that they were like grasshoppers compared to the people living there. That was not an exaggeration. The giants were still present at that time. There are accounts in the Bible of a king whose bed was something like 30 feet long and 6 feet wide. Lots of accounts of hybrid demon, fallen angels, and humans. So that is what we're seeing. And if we're seeing that coming out again now, the question is, are they aliens, or are they more of these spiritual beings who are engaging in the same type of attempt to corrupt the genetics of the human race? That would be closer to an accurate biblical account of what's happening these days, rather than aliens.
I gotcha. Stan, Larry Moore is with us right now, and you're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Connie Claus here, wishing you a Merry Christmas. Stay with us.